gave you an index card. I gave you an index card and made sure you had a writing utensil. What I want you to do, write down the name of one person in this area that you either know or suspect is not a child of God, not a Christian, not saved. So would you do that? Write their name on that card. Nobody, I'm not going to collect them. We're not going to do anything with that as far as you're going to hold on to your card. But would you mind writing the name of someone in this area that you know who was lost, not even folks out of fellowship, someone that you really suspect is lost or you've talked to and you know they're lost in this area, if you would. Can you jot someone down there on your card? I just go with the first name then. Now there's a couple. Does everyone have their card filled out? All right, good. I have a couple of illustrations about D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. Sometimes he's called. He lived 1837 to 1899. He was a very famous American evangelist, very famous. He founded Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. Amy and I had the chance to go to that church one Sunday morning when we were out in Chicago. We got to go there and worship with them. He founded the Moody Bible Institute, if you've heard of that, and he founded Moody Publications, which are Moody Publishers in particular that has published a lot of Christian books through the years. But this is about D.L. Moody. It says, as D.L. Moody walked down a Chicago street one day, he saw a man leaning against a lamppost. The evangelist gently put his hand on the man's shoulder and asked him if he was a Christian. The fellow raised his fist and angrily exclaimed, "Mind your own business." "I'm sorry if I offended you," said Moody, "but to be very frank, that is my business." Think about that for just a moment. Also, D.L. Moody once spoke with a woman who didn't like his method of evangelism. He responded, I don't really like mine all that much either. What's your?" He said, "What's yours?" She replied that she didn't have one. So Moody said, "Then I like mine better than yours." So tonight we're going to finish the four-part series on walking with Jesus daily. Walking with Jesus daily. WWJD, if you will, out of Luke 24, verses 13 to 36. I'm not going to read all of the verses again. I think most of you have been to at least one of the messages of the series thus far. It started last week, Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, and then this morning, and now tonight. Should finish it up, if that's all right with the Lord. But tonight, we're going to specifically look at walking with Jesus daily involves telling others about Jesus with excitement. Involves telling other people about Jesus with excitement. Now, the story as it is here, we have two fellows. This is the day of the resurrection. This is the first day of the week. These two fellows, one of them is Cleopas, the other is not named. They're going to Emmaus. And from Jerusalem, it's about 8 miles, let's say. We decided to round and say, you know, probably about a three-hour trip by walking, most likely. And they were going, they talked together, they were very sad, but Jesus joins himself to these folks and talks with them, and it's kind of funny. Jesus asks, basically, the words in red are really all questions, every one of them. What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another? And as you walk and are sad, that's verse 17. Verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all. Well, I skipped one. Verse 19, when they were saying, haven't you heard about the things going on in these days? And he said, what things? And then down to verse 25 and 26, he ends it with verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? You know, so he's asking questions. There's definitely a fellowship as they go along. And as we've looked at earlier, walking with Jesus daily. You say, well, how can you look at this and take any principles from it or any ideas? You know, the Christian life is likened to a walk with the Lord. And we are walking with the Lord, and these things should be part of our life daily. The first one we looked at, walking with Jesus, involves daily, that is, involves recognizing daily that Jesus is alive. You know, that ought to put, it ought to be better than an energy drink. You know, a lot of people drink these energy drinks. I never have, probably never will. I'm afraid what that caffeine might do to my body. I drink caffeine, but a shot like that, who in the world knows? I've heard a doctor tell a teenager one time that was having some health issues, don't drink those things. They're bad for you. But imagine an energy drink for the soul. One of the energy drinks for the soul is really the fact that Jesus is alive. And we ought to live with that reality every day. We ought to be reminded of that reality every day. Secondly, we looked at walking with Jesus daily involves an emphasis on the Word of God. There's no way you can read this passage and see that Jesus and his interaction with these two guys was not centered or emphasized the Word of God. It says down in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then basically they said later, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Now that's the power of the Word of God. And there's no way. It's amazing how many people want to say, I'm a Christian. How many people want to claim they're walking with Jesus daily, but they simply ignore the Word of God. And, you know, it's like, well, I want all the blessings of being a Christian, but I don't want all the responsibilities. Well, tough luck, buttercup. The Word of God, if you're going to accept it, includes challenges to us, to our life, and we must be living by this book. If it wasn't for this book, one time someone wanted to, it was another pastor shared with me, he said, I heard, and he said, what was meant to be a criticism, he said, they said you're too biblical. I'm like, well, I was like, I don't really look at that as a criticism. You can put it on my tombstone if you want to. How can you be too biblical? I mean, you got to be in the Word, and you got to preach and teach the Word, and we got to live the Word. And if we're going to walk with Jesus, there's no way we can put this aside or throw it in the closet and say, I'm going to walk with Jesus daily. It's just not possible. It's not possible. At least in the closeness of a fellowship there. And that leads to point number three from this morning. Walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship with the Lord. If you didn't catch it this morning, my whole real intent of that was the way we look at quiet time. You know, it's not to be a drudgery. It's not to be, well, I'll check mark, or I want to make the preacher happy or whatever because he's all the time talking about quiet time. Just like for these guys, this was sweet. I think that's the reason they said, hey, no, don't go on. Come on and eat with us. And then when they broke the bread in that clear example of fellowship, their eyes were opened. They saw Jesus for who he was, right? And when we fellowship with the Lord, we see more of who he is, and therefore we'll become more like him as a result of seeing him for who he is. I really think that one of the big parts of being a Christian is getting to know God more and more and more about God. Now, we can't contain that in our brain because God is too big, but we can do the best we can, right? And fellowship is a sharing in common. And remember, we spent a lot of time saying, you know, he called us servants, and we still are servants, but he called us servants. And then he said that we were friends, and we're still his friends. And then he said, brethren, and several places. And then lastly, we're called joint heirs. It's like, wow, we have a stake in this. We have something in common. Now, we are not God. We never will be God. We are not equal to God. But isn't it an awesome thought that the God of the universe wants to fellowship with us? So the big, real emphasis is that we should look forward to the fellowship with the Lord. And not like, oh, ho-hum, here we got to do it again. I need to read another. You know, we should say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. And I want to read. And when, I encourage you, if you've ever heard me talk about quiet time, when you go to the Bible and you're ready to read whatever God has laid out for you that day, whatever that is, if it's systematically reading a certain section or a chapter or whatever. I told you that I'm using the Psalm, one Psalm. You know, it's not a huge chunk, and I'm just looking at a Psalm for my quiet time. Now, I'm still reading some of the other stuff too, but like, Lord, and I pray right before I read, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you want to say to my heart today? And God will speak to your heart through that. It's not like an audible voice. I'd love to have an audible voice. First, it would scare me at first. But I'd love to have an audible voice, but it's a still small voice inside of you and say, hey, look at that verse. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. Or sometimes, ooh, I'm bad. or something, you know, it speaks to our heart. That's God speaking to us. And then when we pray, we're talking to him. And usually once I pray, Lord, speak to my heart, and he does, and I try to internalize that at least for the day or as long as this memory can keep it in there, I'll say, Lord, I thank you for that. Help me to apply that to my life. And then the other requests that we have. And again, it wasn't a drudgery when I was dating Amy to spend time with her or to, you know, talk to her. I mean, we walked and talked. We about wore out and we talked about Ryan walking us to death there in Washington, D.C. We about wore out the streets of Louisville, Kentucky. We walked a lot that night, just walking and talking and walking and talking. And it should be so sweet that we want to spend that time with Jesus. And that was the main emphasis of this morning's message. And then tonight, walking with Jesus involves telling others about Jesus with excitement. If you look at verse 33, this is after their eyes were opened when Jesus broke the bread and blessed it. And they say in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then it says in verse 33 that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, if you think about this, they could not have been in Emmaus very long. You know, they did eat, maybe took a little bit of a break. They'd already walked, let's say, 3 hours. Could have been more, could have been less. But if you figure up 8 miles and you figure a man walks about 3 miles an hour or can. So we just rounded it to 3 hours. But here they are, and they're like, let's go back to Jerusalem. Why do you think they said that? Why do you think they wanted? You think they might have been a wee bit little tired? I mean, these guys, I imagine, as true disciples of Jesus, I imagine they were a little bit emotionally drained. Wouldn't that be a pretty good term? Because the one that they suspected was going to set up the kingdom of God on this earth, or at least was the Messiah, they saw the kingdom of God totally different than what Jesus intended them to. But they just seen him die upon a cross. And now they're hearing rumors that he's alive. And now this guy that's been walking with him for 3 hours, come to find out it's Jesus himself and he's alive. So you can imagine all the emotional strain and all that. But they said, we're going back to Jerusalem. We're going back to Jerusalem. I think there was an excitement in their heart. You know, they were sad before, but I think that sadness turned into interest, and that interest turned into excitement. And they're like, we're excited about this. We got to share this with somebody. And we got to go back. So you're looking, I don't know, maybe they walked a little faster going back. So, you know, if you're just going to round, maybe it took them 2.5 instead of 3. I don't know. But they went back. And I don't think there was a whole lot of lag there because it says they rose up the same hour. They get back with the disciples. The 11 are gathered together in verse 33. And them that were with them, so you got basically the 11 apostles, you got the other disciples that are there, they're gathered together. And they're already saying in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And it says in verse 35, this is the they of the two guys on the road to Emmaus. And they told what things were done in the way. Can you imagine telling that story? I've heard people tell hunting stories before. And then they're, oh, let me tell you. Yeah, I did this. I saw this great big old buck, and his rock looked like this. And by golly, I wasn't quite ready because I'd been asleep there a little bit, and I woke up and I saw that big buck, and I pulled, and then boom, and that thing, you know, just, you hear these stories, right? And most of these hunters are pretty excited about sharing the story, right? And you can tell normally what cranks someone's clock. If you find, you know, sometimes it might be, you know, Larry was always excited about cars, you know, and old cars. And you get him talking about his car and then about the car shows or something. You could tell that he had an excitement about that, right? And maybe a hobby that you're in. Maybe you're a fisherman, and we start talking about fishing or something. You're like, oh, yeah, and I like fishing, and I go down there. My favorite fishing hole is over there. And, you know, things like that. Some people just, I don't know, enjoy Westerns. What do you think? And you mention Western. Oh, yeah, what Western are you talking about? Are you talking about Have Gun, Will Travel? Are you talking about Cheyenne? Are you, right, John? So we all have things that crank our clock. I believe these disciples at this point showed that kind of excitement. And they said, y'all guys aren't going to believe this, but we were going to Emmaus. And this guy joined us. We didn't know who it was. And we talked to him, and it seemed like he'd been under a rock because he was asking, what things are you talking about? But then he opened up the Bible, and he related to us that every page of the Bible points to Jesus. You know, I know they had scrolls and not necessarily a bound book like this, but every scripture, every prophecy points to Jesus. And then he was about ready to go on. He's like, no, you come with us. We want to hear more. And then when he broke bread and blessed it, guess who it was? It was Jesus Christ. In those rumors and everything that everybody's saying, we can say we are firsthand examples, eyewitnesses, that is, that Jesus is alive. So I think there was a bit of excitement, don't you think? I just can't see him going to the apostles and disciples there in Jerusalem and saying, let me tell you, I got a story for you. And just kind of laid by. I think there was an excitement, a bounce in their voice, if you will. It says, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And right after they did that, if you're reading on, I've included verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, I think it's quite clear that we can learn a lesson from this, walking with Jesus daily. And it ought not be... You know, I've always heard it said that, you know, I want to put in a visitation program at some point. I've really been praying a lot about that, and I have been for a good while, and I've really seemed to be committed to praying for that, about putting in a visitation program when we as a church go out and try to reach the lost outside the church. But, you know, I've always heard it said, and you'll think about this for a minute, the best visitation program is no visitation program at all. Because people are out telling people every day about Jesus. You know, I think Teresa's not to swell her head or anything, but I think Teresa sounds like a witness for Jesus daily. You know, it's not like, well, let's set some time where I can go and, you know, let's say 5 o'clock every day I'm going to do this, or, you know, well, the church is going to meet on Wednesdays and do, you know, it's like, I believe that Teresa is ever conscious when she goes about her day, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to tell them that he is alive. You know, Jesus is such good news, we have to tell somebody. We have to tell somebody. Have you ever known such good news that you're like almost overflowing? You almost bust before you can tell somebody. You know, you that had children at some point, do you remember when your child or children were born that you couldn't wait to tell them the specs? You know, well, they were 8 pounds and 4 ounces and 19 and a half inches, and we named them, you know, Nebuchadnezzar or something. You know, you couldn't wait to tell people that, right? I remember we did two different things for our boys. When Ryan was born, I got to make sure I got this right. When Ryan was born, we now they were bubble. bubblegum cigars, okay? You know how they used to give out cigars? I don't believe in smoking. I don't think it's a good testimony. I don't think we should do that and hurt our body. But I think bubblegum's all right. And they were bubblegum cigars that announced the birth of Ryan. When Jason was born, it was little Hershey candy bars, the little minis. They had a shade of blue on them and announced the birth of Jason. You see, we have good news we want to share. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of good news we have, nothing is as good as the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you say there's a shortage of people that need to hear about Jesus? Shortage? I think there's a bunch of people that need to hear about Jesus. Acts chapter 1, I'm just going to look at a handful of verses here, just three different verses or passages. Acts chapter 1 now. This is, of course, not unsupported in other of Scripture, other places, but Acts chapter 1, I want to point out one word to you. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. As Jesus was talking, just as he ascended, just before he ascended back to the Father, he said, you know what? I want you to be witnesses. I just want you to tell people what you have seen. Basically, that's what a witness is, right? These guys were excited about telling people that Jesus is alive. They had seen it. Now, we've not seen with our physical eyes, but haven't we experienced with our spiritual lives, Jesus is alive? We've been saved. I mean, we don't have to make something up. We can say, you know what? I'm saved. I know Jesus lives. As the song says, I know that Jesus lives because he lives within my heart. And we can say, you know what? He changed me. He made a difference in my life. He gives me hope. He gives me joy. He gives me peace. And when we do that, we ought to do it with excitement. I really think we approach it wrong. And I've done it for years. I've approached it wrong. You know, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to bother anybody. You know, sometimes you feel that way and you're a little bit hesitant. It's really not about bothering. It's about good news, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 18. I like this. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. They had healed a lame man, and they got in all kind of trouble over it. And the Sanhedrin called them, and spoke to them. And it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, that is. And they called them and commanded them, that's Peter and John, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So are we supposed to listen to you or are we supposed to listen to God? It says, this is the part I want to point out. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Man, if you've been in church anytime, you've seen and heard a lot about Jesus, right? And you know a lot about, and plus you've experienced Jesus. And you should know how to lead someone to Jesus. Really, you should. If nothing more than quoting John 3:16. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. That would be the healing of the lame man. And one more verse. Again, I just want to establish that. And we know the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. But this is Mark 16:15. It's Mark's version of the Great Commission. It says, and he said unto them, Jesus to his disciples, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. And what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. I think from this story, walking with Jesus, I think it's a part of that day and part of that daily walk with the Lord. We ought to recognize that Jesus is alive. We ought to emphasize the Word of God and live by the Word of God and obey the Word of God in our daily walk with God. We ought to recognize it involves fellowship with the Lord. You know, that sweet fellowship, not a drudgery, but talking to Him, let Him talk to us. But really, a part part of every one of our days should be to tell other people about Jesus. Especially as God gives us opportunity. Some people are presented, and I imagine that some of us fit into that category. God gives us opportunities, and we just like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared. I don't know how well they'll take it. You know, oh, and I'm kind of in a hurry. We need to back up just a little bit. I mean, it ought not be something so foreign to us to talk about Jesus. It ought not be so foreign to us to share that Jesus is alive and he wants to save you. I mean, I see people all the time, don't you? I saw someone today that I just kind of had to shake my head a little bit. Somebody that was down there at Wendy's. We went down there after morning worship. And sometimes you look at people and you just know they're searching for something because they've tried some stuff. You can tell. And you're like, ah, goodness. You know, we ought to be ready to give an answer, as the Bible says, for the hope that we have. It ought to be an excitement. It ought to be, hey, I got some good news for you here. You don't want to hear some good news? You heard any good news here lately? Well, let me tell you, the good news is that Jesus loves you. Now, you can't do it with a Southern West Virginia accent. Now, Gwen can. But do the best you can with your Northern West Virginia accent, all right? But it is important. Walking with Jesus daily involves telling others about Jesus. These guys, I believe, were excited, or else they wouldn't have gone back to Jerusalem. I think these guys were excited, and as they shared it, you know, guess what? Not only did they get to share their testimony that Jesus showed up. And can I tell you that when we share the gospel with other people, Jesus is going to show up. Jesus is going to show up. Walking with Jesus daily involves telling others about Jesus with excitement. Just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they recognize that Jesus is alive. We know daily that Jesus is alive, don't we? There was an emphasis on the Word of God. We should daily make the Word of God our primary source of information and guidance and guide and direction in our lives. They fellowship with the Savior. We should daily fellowship with the Savior. And because of these things, we ought to have an excited testimony to those around us. I have a couple, two or three, four illustrations, just real brief, that hopefully will speak to our hearts in this area of telling people daily about Jesus. You know, a good witness, it says, isn't like a salesman. Emphasis is on a person rather than a product. A good witness, I like this, a good witness is like a signpost. It doesn't matter whether it's old, young, pretty, ugly. It has to point the right direction and be able to be understood. We are witnesses to Christ. We point to Him. Thought that was pretty good. Howard Hendricks, he was on staff at Dallas Theological Seminary when I was back in seminary at Temple. But he said something like this, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers. Would you say that we're in a generation of people screaming? Christians are stuttering. Christians are stuttering. Millions of surveys, which we have helped to take around the world, writes Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He said, millions of surveys which we have helped to take around the world indicate that approximately 98% of the Christians do not regularly introduce others to the Savior. Did you catch that? 98% doesn't. That means that, now, I don't have my calculator, and I'm an engineer. And you know, engineers don't do too well without calculators. Right, Bill? But I think 100 minus 98 leaves 2. Can you just imagine that? If those numbers are right, only 2%, I've read that even you can be a little bit more bold in this and say only 2% of Christians have actually led anyone else to the Lord. 2%. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? One more illustration. It says the Times reporter of New Philadelphia, Ohio, reported in September 1985 a celebration of the New Orleans Municipal Pool. So the city pool in New Orleans had a celebration back in 1985. The party around the pool was held to celebrate the first summer in memory without a drowning at the New Orleans city pool. In honor of the occasion, 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up and the four lifeguards on duty began to clear the pool, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end of the pool. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, age 31, but it was too late. Listen to this. He was drowned, surrounded by lifeguards, celebrating their successful season. Can I tell you that there's a whole lot of people around us that are drowning in their sins? And they will spend, according to the Word of God, they will spend eternity, if they don't trust Jesus before they leave this world, in a godless place called hell, separated from God with all the torments forever and ever and ever. And hell is as long as heaven is. They're drowning. Can I encourage you that part of our daily walk with God is to be, as I say quite often, alive, awake, and alert to opportunities to share the good news of Jesus? And we ought to do it with excitement, really. I mean, please don't go up to someone and say, you don't want to hear about Jesus, do you? Go up and say something like, hey, I got some good news. You know, have you thought about this? Jesus loves you, and he's alive. And we just celebrated that Easter a couple weeks back. That's a celebration of him being alive. And because he's alive, you can live forever in heaven. Now, I'll tell you, I realize that some people are going to reject it. I mean, they rejected, as we read earlier, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. And he will reject you. Some will reject you. Some will say, not interested. Just leave me alone. Or they might even be meaner than that. They might say, you narrow-minded Christians, get out. That's all right. I think Jesus went through a whole lot more than that for us, right? I would just encourage you. You know, again, I'm not so sure I'm doing a very good job of communicating some of these main points, but really the main point, witnessing to us ought not be something foreign. It ought to be an everyday part of our life. You encounter people. We encountered sometimes they're captive audiences. We encountered the freezer at Joe's house, the main freezer in the kitchen. You know, it's got the bottom drawer. It got stuck, and it's been stuck for a while, but we didn't mess with it because, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We thought it might, something happened. We didn't know if something got in there and got lodged. But what had happened, the seal was not real good around it because the rollers had been worn out. And what happened was it froze in there. I mean, we're talking about ice, you know, thick on the bottom. And So it's under warranty. He got the extended warranty. The repairman came out. We talked to him a little bit about the Lord. And then the last time he came out and replaced the rails, and now it's up and running. Everything is good. But you have people sometimes in your home, and what are they going to do? They're not going to leave. Just talk to him about Jesus. And this fellow, I think, had trusted the Lord, and he'd gone to a Baptist church here over in Bridgeport at one point. He said, you know, me and my wife need to get back into church again. But we found also that when you test drive cars, they don't want to lose a sale. So you could talk to them about anything, about the man on the moon if you want to. And they're like, oh. You know, what a good opportunity. I'm kidding, but I'm serious at the same time. We have opportunity, and we ought to look at it as an opportunity every day of our life, as long as we have breath. I want to make sure you have breath. Is it feel still kind of, if it's cold, you might be in trouble, but you have breath. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, there's a whole world out there, an unlimited number of people, I would almost say, out there that need to know about Jesus. So let's look at opportunities daily. Walking with Jesus daily involves telling people about Jesus with excitement, okay? Now, I'm going to be real specific tonight about the invitation, all right? You wrote a name on that card, didn't you? you told that person about Jesus yourself, you can do it again. Don't give up. I'd encourage you. Take that card. I would start praying about it right now. And I'd be asking the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me the boldness. Give me the words to say, and help me to witness to this person. You see, too often, I mean, how many times do you think we go and tell people about Jesus? We preach about it all the time. We teach about it all the time. I mean, we should. It's the mission of the church. But will you take that name on that card, keep it somewhere you can see it, that you can see it, no one else has to see it, be praying about it, and looking to them for an opportunity to share Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Even if you've done it several times before, you never know when the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts and they might be to the point to say, you know what? You're right. I want to hear that. And they can be saved. And think about this. Change their eternal destiny. And think about this. We cause a party to go on in heaven when someone trusts Jesus. It says a rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repenteth and turns to God. Isn't that something? I'd encourage you, take that index card, take that name seriously, and pray. And as you get opportunity, and people that cross your path, again, on a daily basis, do the best you can. You know, some people say, well, I can't hold up the line at food. I can't hold up the checkout line at Food Lion or Dollar General to tell people about Jesus. They'll get mad. Well, you're probably right. That's probably not the best. But guess what? We have what's called a gospel tract. And as I've said many times, I'm not sure. I really don't know how many people are giving out gospel tracts. I don't know. I know some are, but I really think that some are just like, eh. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, especially those love tracts. I love the love tracts. And I put a positive on them. I'm like, hey, let me give you a reminder of God's love for you. But it has the gospel right on it. And you don't have time to share the whole schmeal with somebody. Just give them a gospel tract and say, read this sometime. Or let me remind you of God. And I'm telling you, probably 95% of the time that I've given one of those out, they're happy to get it. Some of them just light up like a Christmas tree, like, oh, well, thank you. Now, I don't know if they're Christians. I don't know if they've had a bad day. But it's nice to be reminded of God's love all the time. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Tonight, we've looked at walking with Jesus daily involves telling other people about Jesus with excitement. I'm thankful that those two, one Cleopas, the other, we don't know exactly who that was, but I'm thankful that they went back to tell the rest of the disciples and the apostles that Jesus is alive. We've seen him. We've experienced him. If you know Jesus, you've experienced him. If God has spoken to your heart tonight about looking at every opportunity that God puts in your way to tell people about Jesus, would you take just a moment in the silence of the moment and pray to God and say, God, help this not to be a message that I remember about the time I get home and then I forget about, but help me to really put as part of my daily walk with Jesus to look for those opportunities, the people that may cross my path, to tell them about Jesus with excitement. Would you ask God to help you be reminded of that? Come tomorrow, Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday, and Friday, and then Saturday, and just on and on, every day that you have left. Would you take a moment and ask God about that? Would you take a moment and pray specifically for the person whose name you wrote on that card, that you'll get the opportunity to share the gospel with them? Maybe it's for the 18th time, but to share the gospel again with them. Maybe it's the first time, that God would help you to have the boldness and the excitement to share the good news about Jesus with somebody that's on that card, whatever that name is on the card, real soon. Would you say real soon? Because life is very unpredictable. every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'd like to encourage you, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that you're saved, no better time, no better place than right here, right now. As we sing here in a moment, I'd encourage you to come down the aisle and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to show you." If you're listening in by live stream and you've never trusted the Lord as Savior, right wherever you are, if you're listening in, if you mean it from your heart and you want to be saved and you really believe that Jesus was God's Son who died for you, you can go to God in prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. You can't see Him, but He can definitely hear you. And you can just say, "God, I believe that Jesus was your Son who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. Forgive me of all my sins, the things that I've done wrong. Wipe that slate clean. I confess Jesus as my Savior." And if you mean that from your heart, again, you have to mean it from your heart. If you do that, you can be saved wherever you are right now. I'd encourage you to do that very thing. Be saved tonight. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful story in Scripture about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and how you, through your Son, showed up and walked with them. And Lord, as proof, further proof of the resurrection, Lord, I pray that we have rightly divided the word of truth and we've learned some things about walking with Jesus daily, or been reminded at least. And Lord, tonight, as we've talked about in particular, walking with Jesus daily involves telling other people about Jesus with excitement. Lord, that should not just be a special occasion or a banner day. We should do this all the time. And Lord, help us to be aware of that. And the people that you bring our way, and tell them about Jesus with excitement, we pray. In Jesus' name.